brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Right in the center of Drudge Report, drudgereport.com, he's linked to Google Seeks to weaken search engine ranking of content farming websites like the Drudge Report and Infowars.com. We'll be breaking that down later. We have a guest from the Epoch Times joining us, Stephen Gregory, about the playing at the White House of the incredible anti-U.S. military, anti-U.S. song, The Motherland, about killing U.S. troops in Korea. Joining us, the editor, Matthew Robertson, was the writer of the article. Stephen Gregory, the editor, will be joining us coming up in 30 minutes. I appreciate Webster Tarpley coming on short notice because he's a real expert on things Central Asia and Russia. Well, he's an expert on just about everything that goes on geopolitically around the globe. Really learned to respect his analysis. And, of course, suicide bomber kills 31 at Russian airport, and that's Domodedov. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Domodedova. And that's the biggest airport in Russia. It's in Moscow. And they're saying a suicide bomber, but we know how many of these have been faked in the past. Now, is it NATO? Is it the U.S.? Is it the Russian government? Or is it a real Chechen terrorist? Joining us is Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctorate of history. He's also an economist and the author of several books exposing Barack Obama. And we carry those books as well at Infowars.com. Webster, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Alex. It's the airport is Domodedovo, and it happens to be the main gateway from Moscow towards the North Caucasus and the Caucasus, meaning precisely the area of Chechnya and Georgia and these other small ethnic nations there in the Caucasus and Transcaucasus that have been the scene of so much orchestrated terrorism. So obviously when anything like this happens, the prime suspects immediately become Chechen-based organizations or organizations operating in or around Chechnya, but also maybe Georgia, where there was, after all, the war back in August of 2008. However, behind these, their patrons, always looms the question of NATO intelligence and the desire to destabilize Russia, promote the further breakup of Russia, and so forth. I have here my book that you mentioned, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, one of the essays, Obama Campaign Linked to Chechen Terrorism. And this is about the fact that the principal Chechen terror organization, I think there's no other way to say it, is stationed here in Washington, D.C., funded by U.S. taxpayers, with an office at, I guess, the National Endowment for Democracy. And the Russians have repeatedly demanded the extradition of this guy, but that has never happened. And of course, we have the pattern of things going on in Russia. Last March, there were, a couple of female suicide bombers who put on a bomb in the Moscow subway. Or maybe they never found out who did that. But very dramatic was a little bit more than a year ago, a bomb in the Moscow to St. Petersburg fast train. And, of course, back behind that, we have the Moscow theater hostage-taking, which turned into a massacre. We have the Beslan school massacre of September 2004. Before that, there was a hospital massacre, all the while bombs in the Moscow subway and so forth. So this is generally attributed to Chechens. Again, I say Chechens, you know, it's notorious, and various Russian media and other media have gone through this, that these are supported by the West, right? Meaning NATO intelligence. And then there's that strange fascist dictator, Saakashvili, in Georgia, right? Installed by a color revolution.
Tell you what, Webster, we got one more long segment with you. I want you to come back, recap the history of this, look at different geopolitical aims behind this and what this signifies if the West, through the Chechen operatives, is behind it. And why you wouldn't even look at Moscow being behind it. We'll get your view on that straight ahead. Webster Griffin Tarpley of Tarpley.net. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are now 8 minutes into hour number two. We're going to be talking to the editor of the Epoch Times, dealing with the Chinese press celebrating the White House guest, the Chinese pianist, with Hu Jintao last Wednesday, playing the song The Motherland, which celebrates Chinese victories over U.S. troops in Korea. Talks about shooting down the jackals. Why would they do something? Why would Hu Jintao announce that the dollar needs to be replaced? Why are the elites selling us out to China? Well, we're talking to Webster Griffin Tarpley for the rest of this segment, doctor of history, also an economist, joining us to, and of course he's written books on this subject, how Obama and others, but our CIA, is funding a lot of Muslim extremists. They funded them openly under Clinton out of Albania, and NATO funded them as well to attack the Serbs. We're not saying the Serbs are wonderful Boy Scouts. The point is that was all staged. We know that Tarpley at the time broke it down, then it came out in Indian news and Pakistan news, and then it came out in the Chicago Tribune that the head of the Mumbai attack was CIA, that whole attack in the shopping mall and hotel. That came out years later to have been accurate. We know the West did launch the 888 attack during the Olympics when Putin and Bush and others were meeting in China, in Beijing, for the 2008 Olympics. That it was a hoax. The media said Russia had attacked Georgia when Georgia had attacked Russian-controlled areas of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, and I just went with the facts. And a week later, they had to admit, okay, the Russians didn't attack. People said, what are you doing standing up for the Russians? I just go off the facts. Now, the evidence points towards FSB in 99 being caught in a fourth apartment building planting exogen bombs, and that came out in the Moscow papers, and some of those reporters got killed. And so I have no doubt that the czars before them, the communists, and now the current Russian government does stage provocations. Most big governments stage false flags. Tarpley may differ with me about the 1999 attacks, but we're looking at who could be behind this. And we're getting our first look. This only happened 5-6 hours ago. Moscow airport blast, FSB, false flag, part of anti-Putin campaign or real separatist attack. That's the headline by Steve Watson and Paul Watson at PrisonPlanet.com. It's also up at Infowars.com. And so let's go back here, because we know 4 years ago Bush put out the press release on WhiteHouse.gov saying four groups of freedom fighters are attacking the Iranians inside Iran. We're funding them. What a provocation towards Iran. Three of the four groups were al-Qaeda-based, number three in al-Qaeda commanding one. One of them was Kurd-based. And then our media says Iran is backing al-Qaeda when Iran's the opposite, as you know, Webster, Shiite. Shiites and the other branch of Islam, Shiites being 20%, the other branch being roughly 80%. There's 1% that's a few other subgroups. But what's really going on here? Clear it up for us. Give us your first look view on who you think has the motive, who stands to gain. Is it Moscow? Is it NATO? Is it the West? Or is it Chechens operating on their own?
Well, we have to remember there's a presidential election now in Russia in 2012, and the number one goal of the entire Anglo-American intelligence establishment, and this is a hysterical commitment that they have, is to prevent Putin from switching back from prime minister to president. And they very interesting. WikiLeaks, in part of their dumping, has revealed the transcripts of meetings held in the U.S. Embassy to Moscow, with the presence of Michael McFaul, who is the Russia director of the National Security Council. And he, of course, is a lightweight. He was a cheerleader for Yeltsin. He was a cheerleader for the color revolution in Ukraine. Anything that the U.S. stooges do in Russia is democratic. If Yeltsin shoots up the parliament, that's democratic. If we have kleptocrats in Kiev, that's democratic. So what McFaul was doing was to try to marshal his forces, which turn out to be various Russian has-been politicians, people like Kassirev and Ryshkov, people you've never heard of, as well as some human rights people. But one you may have heard of, Garry Kasparov, the former chess champion. But his friend, of course, is this guy Limonov, who was a national Bolshevik, which basically means a fascist with skinhead rowdies in the streets.
So our government is backing Bolsheviks.
National Bolsheviks. Again, it's more like a Nazi than a real communist. So if these distinctions mean anything, so they get together this gaggle of people, and the candidate they'd like to put up against Putin is a guy called Nemtsov, who was essentially the one of the masterminds of the destruction of the Russian economy, IMF shock therapy, deregulation, privatization, hyperinflation, a bubble, a banking crisis, every disaster in the book when it comes to economics. This guy Nemtsov had visited on the Russian people, but they said we'll call him a democratic force, we'll put him up, we'll give him a lot of money from the U.S. taxpayer and see what we can do. And I think they've decided now that it's hopeless, and they've decided to have recourse to these things that we see now. I would look at things as being a little bit open-ended, right? The London Economist has announced, essentially, that 2011 is the year of the long-awaited Middle East war, right? For the past 7 or 8 years, really, since the immediate aftermath of 9/11, the big question, right, the other shoe ready to drop after Afghanistan, after Iraq, is what's going to happen with Iran? There have just been some conferences over the weekend in Turkey about the Iranian nuclear program. They have ended with basically no result. And maybe this is now the beginning of some kind of a buildup towards Iran. But in the meantime, it's a warning to Russia. But certainly the idea that I think they have is that their ability to influence affairs in Russia has gone down to very, very low levels. They can't install their puppet Nemtsov. and therefore they may be doing this. That would be a first guess, I guess, in the first hours after such an event.
Are you talking about the Economist article last week that had the headline, "Not Another War," or,
yeah,
oh no?
Exactly. The first one of the new year was there's going to be a war in the Middle East because of the very significant conventional ballistic missile buildup by Hezbollah in Lebanon in particular. And of course, there's a government crisis going on there. The other thing I would put in is that there's a manic mood in the State Department and the CIA. Remember, Tunisia is just a week ago, right? So a week ago, the U.S. feels that they, with the help of WikiLeaks and Assange, were able to overthrow the government in Tunisia. And since then, serious disturbances have broken out in Albania and in Yemen, and we have these Palestinian papers against the PLO, against the Palestinian Authority, which is likely to lead to kinds of political chaos there.
So somebody's lighting the match here, but Webster, boiling this down, again, we have the headline, Moscow airport blast, FSB false flag, part of an anti-Putin campaign, or real separatist attack. How does this help the West to stage an event when even the White House advisors are telling Obama, have a big terror attack, that will help you, that will get your approval rating up. Even the shooting got his approval rating up, Gallup reports, by 15 points. And when we go back to Putin, somewhat unpopular, going into that 99 election with the addled alcoholic Yeltsin who couldn't even get out of a wheelchair, and then magically there's bombings in and around Moscow, Putin gets to roll into Chechnya, the strong leader, his approval rating goes way up. I mean, are you saying that there isn't evidence of the 99 apartment building bombings being an FSB connected?
No, let's talk about that for a minute. That stuff in 1999, you've got to remember what kind of a Russian state that was. That was the Russian state destroyed with tremendous inroads and incursions by NATO intelligence. Remember, Yeltsin was a complete IMF NATO puppet. That's all he was. And whole parts of the state apparatus, starting with the economic.
So how was Putin able to maneuver in?
Well, it's basically saying, at that point, the candidate of the U.S. and the British to become the head of Russia was this same Nemtsov, this same IMF shock therapist. But at the same time, they had this thing going, a parallel operation, which was the dismemberment of Russia. They wanted to keep the weak Yeltsin in power. At the same time, have a dismemberment operation.
Oh, so you think the bombings were carried out by NATO-affiliated groups to prop up Yeltsin?
Using cutouts that they had in the penetrated and completely subverted and corrupted Russian security establishment. And at that point, Putin looked at it and said, all right, you want to do this, I'll ride the tiger. I'll judo your terrorist attacks, and I'll take over, and you won't like it, as we've seen. And they're still cursing themselves that they ever let Putin get into power.
What's the evidence? Because we know that a city police department did reportedly arrest FSB with the hexagen in a fourth building.
Well, it doesn't prove anything. It just proves that NATO has deep pockets, and there were a lot of very, very poor people running around in Moscow in those days. Man, you had the whole middle class selling their possessions in the subway.
No. So, Tarpley, I don't necessarily buy that, but I do buy the bombing of the last year being tied to the Chechens because they took credit for those. And we know the Chechens are, as you mentioned earlier, run directly out of the State Department. So there's no doubt that's going on.
Right. And I would take your FSB false flag, if you're going to keep that at all, and put that at the end. The prime suspect are always NATO-backed Chechens, NATO-backed Georgians. And once you get down there, right, there's Dagestan, there's Ingushetia, right, there are disgruntled individuals from every one of these small ethnic groups. Again, Georgia.
Okay, what's the goal then? How does it hurt Putin to bomb this airport in Moscow?
It's done periodically. It's a good question because this has been going on now on a large scale for a long time. The second phase of these things is usually that the Russian government is blamed. For example, when you had that Moscow theater massacre, the general tone of the Western media was not to say terrorists are bad and should be fought, but that the Russian government did it all wrong, or with the school, right, that the school was not, these are bloody monsters who'd killed all these children, but rather, oh, the Russian government made tactical mistakes. I'm sure we're going to hear now that Russian aviation is not safe, and maybe you better not go there, and maybe you better reroute your airplane.
And you've got Europe not wanting the naked body scanners and Russia not wanting it, so this could also be used domestically here to crack down more. Is that what you're saying?
They're much bigger than this.
Do a few more minutes with this, a few more minutes on the geopolitical ramifications of Key Bono.
Folks, you've heard us talk about Home Gain before. Home Gain is now offering a special promo where you get up to $150 when you buy or sell a home with a Home Gain agent you find through their Find a Realtor program. Home Gain lets you compare realtors anonymously. It's easy. Go to HomeGain150.com to find and compare realtors anonymously. Enter promo code HomeGain150. And receive up to $150 when you close a deal with a Home Gain agent. Share the Home Gain 150 promo code with your friends via Facebook, Twitter, text, and more. Look for Max, the Home Gain Gorilla, to find out more about how Home Gain is going to pay you. Visit HomeGain150.com today to enter your promo code and get paid for buying or selling a house. That's HomeGain150.com.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Going back to Webster here for a few more minutes to continue to discuss this terrible bombing in Moscow at their biggest airport. But I did want to remind listeners that we have PrisonPlanet.tv, where we simulcast the radio show via video with a document cam, the in-studio guest, everything. It's streamed live. It's archived each day. There's a higher quality audio podcast, commercial free. There's all of my films, expanded extras. And if you go to PrisonPlanet.tv and scroll down, you'll see all the new exclusive videos where I fly my crew all over the country to interview Joel Skousen, Russell Means, Alex Abeya, Dr. Paul Connett. Just so many others. We're adding new interviews every week, sometimes multiple times a week. Got a bunch of special new interviews going up there, a whole bunch of them ready in the can, ready to go. People are very excited about them. And we're only running this special that we run in December and January for another week, or really less than a week. So this is your chance to get 5.3 months free. You sign up for a year, and you get 5.3 months free. You buy 6.7 months, you get 5.3 months free, or you can get a trial $5.95 membership, and that support helps us operate here. It's 15 cents a day for the trial membership, or get an even bigger discount and sign up for the full year, prisonplanet.tv. And every subject under the sun is covered on the site. You can burn it to disk, the audio, the video, or you can share your passcode and username. Just make sure it's not your passcode and username on other things that are important if you're going to share it. We allow six people to tune in simultaneously with the same passcodes. You can share that also with others to give yourself a gift. Help us get the word out and give the gift of awakening to others. PrisonPlanet.tv. And we're adding a lot of new t-shirts, videos, and books at the online video bookstore to get hard copies at Infowars.com. Okay, going back to Webster Griffin Tarpley. Webster, look, I'm just looking for the truth here. And I know Russia does a lot of corrupt things and has its own interests. I know our corrupt system does it as well. 888 was a giant hoax, and it was admitted.
The difference is that the U.S. Is generally in an aggressive attack posture. The Russian posture, much more defensive. And I think that's the thing that has to be stressed. And, you know, when these events occur, if there were no background and no pattern going back, you know, 15 years, you could look in every direction of the compass.
Okay, I'm just saying I'm looking for the truth. So in the 3.5 minutes we got left, what's the motive here for you? Who's behind it from the key bono?
Well, the U.S., with Obama, was attempting to do this deception operation, the strategic deception around the so-called reset of relations with Russia. And that has included now the ratification by the U.S. of the START Treaty, right, the Strategic Arms Treaty. However, all of this had a goal. The goal was to get Putin and his faction out of public life, get in Medvedev, who is a much weaker figure, and then proceed with more destabilizations with the soft power methods, hopefully from their point of view, including a color revolution, taking advantage of the relative weakness of Medvedev as a political leader.
Isn't he stronger because that was a test of him in 888 with the Georgia situation?
That was Putin all the way, certainly. Medvedev, by the way, made a response to this, which I thought looked rather weak. He looked very depressed, rather passive, quite weak, not a strong rallying defiant figure. So I think he realizes that this is not good for him individually. So the idea is if you have this gaggle of opposition forces that are worthless and you can't subvert from within, and your ability to have a color revolution from the U.S. point of view is very limited, well, then you've got to go back to treating Russia as a unit and a great power, and then you go back to your long-term Caucasus-based subversion and geographic breakup story.
Sure, encirclement.
It's encirclement, of course, but specifically the London Economist, again, the British are always the main center of anti-Russian hatred, and this goes back 200 years to post-Napoleon. The London Economist has always had this idea that you can use the Caucasus, Transcaucasus, this ethnic labyrinth of small countries to break up Russia geographically, right? Not just break up the Soviet Union, that they've done, but now break up the Russian Federation. So if you can't do the internal subversion using, you know, the young dupes and young nihilists with a color revolution, then go back to your ethnic-based, terror-assisted strategy. And it seems to me that may be what we're
And then try to invoke Russian invasions into those satellites?
Yes, of course, and then that weakens Russia. You see, that was done in the mid-1990s, right? The Chechen War really started in, what, 94, 95?
So just like the West is tied up in Afghanistan and Iraq, they're trying to suck them into a new Afghan-type situation, but in other areas of the caucuses?
The oligarchs, you know, they're also not happy. Their darling Khodorkovsky is being kept in jail. You can imagine if we had Warren Buffett or Bill Gates in jail in this country, that would create a somewhat different political climate.
All right, Webster, thank you so much. We'll continue to talk to you as this unfolds. Thank you so much.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath the Americans at home.
A tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Attention, an important product from HempUSA.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Gregory is our guest for the next 30 minutes. He's the editor of the Epoch Times English language version. All I know is I'm in London. I see their newspaper on newsstands. I'm in Toronto. I'm in Dallas. I'm in Los Angeles. I mean, I just see it everywhere. I see it in Austin for more than a decade, and it's theepochtimes.com, and they have an amazing report that we link to on Infowars.com. We link to part one, but there's also a part two. Chinese pianist plays propaganda tune at the White House. U.S. humiliated in eyes of Chinese by song used to inspire anti-Americanism. Now, we know the Chinese people are greatly oppressed. They're great people. We know that Mao Zedong has the greatest mass murder record in history, even greater than the monster Hitler and the monster Stalin. But to have them play this song, The Motherland, that's in a popular movie in China dealing with the Chinese regulars fighting Americans in Korea during the Korean War, is just incredible. And this was aired. Chinese TV covered it. Chinese bloggers praised it. Lang Lang, the pianist, talked about he chose it to basically glorify China. I mean, it's one thing to have Hu Jintao come out before he came last week and say the dollar's going down. The Chinese currency will be the world reserve currency, China being the biggest holder of our debt. What an amazing move we see. But to see all this, these other slights that Americans don't recognize, but in China are seen as rubbing our face in it. Imagine if an American president went over there and played some anti-Chinese song or had their pianist do it. So it's really kind of an inside joke for, I guess, 1.3 billion Chinese, but a lot of them aren't laughing. And so joining us is the editor, Stephen Gregory, of the EpochTimes.com. Again, their online version, their print version, very powerful around the world, very effective, and pro-liberty. And we really appreciate their reporting. They were the only East Coast newspaper to report on Bilderberg 2008 when I was there covering Obama and the fact that they'd made the deal to have him get the nomination when he was, quote, out of pocket and none of the other media could find him. It was the Epoch Times that covered it to give you an idea of the work they do. And they've got a lot of other important articles dealing with people that were paid to greet Hu Jintao last week. And so he joins us now, hopefully about 5 minutes in the next hour. But, Mr. Gregory, good to have you here with us.
It's great to be with you, Alan.
Tell us about, I mean, just talking to folks at the paper, you really are one of the biggest experts on what's happening in China, what this song means and if it ties into a larger pattern.
Yes, certainly. This song was the theme song for a movie, Battle on Shangangling Mountain. And this is the battle, Triangle Hill, which is not well known to Americans. But in the Chinese Communist Party narrative about the Korean War, it's very important. It's treated as a major victory over U.S. forces. And the song is a praise of how beautiful China is, but at the end of the song, there's a verse which says that when friends are here, there is fine wine, but if the jackal comes, what meets it is the hunting rifle. And in the song, the jackal of the United States. And since that movie played for decades now in China, this song has been the leading song for promoting anti-Americanism in China. And so for this song to be played in the White House at a state dinner with President Obama and Hu Jintao present was a tremendous insult to the United States. Going into the White House and playing a song promotes hatred of and opposition to the United States.
Well, if I played the old country music song from the 50s, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson and the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we whipped the bloody British at the town of New Orleans. And it goes on from there about running the British down to the Gulf of Mexico. That was 220-something years ago. This is different because this is something that's currently popularized. And you link in the article written by Matthew Robertson to the celebrations in China and the fact that the message was clearly taken. Can you talk about this history of humiliations of America and why it's being done from your view and why they would do this right there at a White House dinner with President Obama in attendance?
Sure. Alex, I think the fundamental thing is that the Chinese Communist Party has recognized from the very beginning that they are in a life and death struggle with the democratic left. As long as the United States exists as a free, democratic, and prosperous country, the example of the United States is a rebuke to the authoritarianism of the CCP. No matter how strong the propaganda is inside China, our example is still attractive to the Chinese.
But if they can lobby our government to crack down on internet speech and free speech zones, now it can normalize their authoritarian system. And to see our media, and I'm sorry to interrupt, that's powerful what you just said, though, sir, the editor of the Epoch Times. I've now seen our media actually praising China and saying they can get things done and almost no criticism of their unbelievable human rights degradations.
Yes, the media in the West, and this is also to get back to your point about there being a pattern involved in this, a pattern of humiliation of the United States. The media in the United States has badly misunderstood China, the Chinese Communist Party, and the Chinese Communist regime. And since Nixon went to China in 1972, U.S. presidents and U.S. administration have badly misunderstood and badly informed about the Chinese Communist Party. And so what the United States administrations have not understood is the CCP views us as an enemy, and an enemy that they have a long-term plan to feed or support. And our policy towards China of engagement has been an attempt to treat them as friends, and this has been simply very naive. We can trade with the Chinese. We can, of course, have all kinds of relations with the Chinese. We should be very clear-headed about what the CCP is and what the CCP is doing. When Nixon visited China in 1972, there is a picture that was used throughout China after his visit. Nixon is getting off the plane, and he has a big grin on his face, and he's stretching his arm out to shake hands with Zhou Enlai. Zhou at that time had a bad arm, and his arm is held close to his body. His face is very close. And what the Chinese propagandists did with this picture, which shows Nixon reaching out and Zhou with his hand close to his body, is to say, look how badly the United States wants to reach out to us. They're reaching out to us. Now, this is a tiny, subtle detail, but it's how the Chinese people have been indoctrinated by the CCP to begin thinking about the United States from the very beginning.
Why does Obama continue to bow? I noticed when he bowed last year and again this week to Hu Jintao, the Hu Jintao just didn't even tip his head in any way. How is that being received in China?
I think that in general, Chinese propaganda is going to play up any opportunity to show the United States as weak, or the United States as being subservient towards China. As for President Obama's tipping of the head towards Hu Jintao, this is his understanding of democratic manners, my understanding about how to relate to foreign heads of state. And I would simply say that in the context of the relationship with the Chinese regime, I don't believe that's helpful to bow to Chinese heads of state.
So where is all this going? Because I'm not a China expert, but, you know, compared to the general public, I read about it every day and try to study it and study the history of China. I mean, I read the Chinese government-approved publications, and for those that don't know, they shut down the only free magazine that had been up a few years in China just a month ago. So all publications are approved, and I read the big Chinese dailies, and it's America's weak. We own their debt. They are our enemy. We're preparing for war against them. We are encircling them. They've got 90%+ of rare earth mineral mines all over the world. They're giving out more money than the IMF and World Bank now to third world countries. I mean, China obviously is racing around. They lobbied to get our Panama Canal. I see all sorts of warlike statements by them. I don't see it out of the Russians. If I saw it out of the Russians, I'd be talking about it. And it really is a threat. I know it's come out in our news. They've been caught selling AK-47s to street gangs 14 years ago. They've got thousands of front companies and Chinese mafias unfolding, controlled by the government. I mean, I do see China as a very serious threat, especially because our own government at so many corporate levels have sold out to them. I mean, am I overstating that? Or, I mean, as somebody who's deeply researched this, the editor of the Epoch Times, give us your take on it.
The Chinese regime has been using every means available to them to weaken the position of the United States. So I don't think you're overstating it. But I do think that we need to be clear. If the United States is simply clear on its own principles and stays firm on its own principles and its own understanding of human rights and lets that guide its policy, the Chinese regime appears to be very strong. In fact, it's very weak. In 2009, Radio Free Asia had an interview with a professor at Beijing University, And he was quoted as saying that in 2009, there were over 200,000 mass protests, mass riots in China. That is a huge, huge number. And what it points to is the Chinese regime is rapidly deteriorating. There's great instability.
Well, that was my next point. They've got these entire new cities they've built that are almost entirely empty, this real estate bubble. I see the YouTube videos that quickly get pulled down by the Google parent company who's in bed with the Chinese communists. And there's this illusion that the Chinese people are anti-America, but I think what you're saying and what I've researched is that they're trying to create a fake communist nationalism against the U.S. to rally their people against the U.S. and the West so their people won't rally against the authoritarian, hardcore oppression. I see the YouTube videos of farmers having their tiny pieces of land taken, rushing Chinese troops with guns and even, you know, defeating them. And so absolutely, China is on the verge of revolution, and China doesn't want us knowing that. Meanwhile, our Western governments are almost like trying to prop them up. Break that down.
Yeah, I think there are two things, at least two things going on at the same time. One is the Chinese people, who are the greatest victims of the Chinese Communist Party's oppression and regime, the Chinese people are deeply poisoned by the propaganda of the Chinese regime. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Chinese people increasingly are recognizing that the Chinese Communist Party's rule has to end. One of the biggest unreported stories in the world, something the Epoch Times has devoted a lot of space to, is what's called in Chinese the Cuidong Movement, the movement to withdraw from the Chinese Communist Party. At this moment, 88 million Chinese in China and around the world have withdrawn either from the Chinese Communist Party or its affiliated youth organization. And this is something which the Chinese Communist Party is very afraid of. Falun Gong practitioners are taking the lead in helping the Chinese people in China understand the nature of the CCP and understand how catastrophic the CCP has been in China.
Why is China so threatened, the Chinese Communist Party, separate from the people, by the Falun Gong, A, and then B, here's an example. Paul Watson, the editor of PrisonPlanet.com, one of my big news sites, lives in England. His wife is Ehan Watson, and she speaks perfect English. She's, I guess you'd say, Anglified, but she has family, you know, that lives in China, really nice folks. And she just wrote an article or contributed to it about a Rand Corporation document about war with China. And it wasn't even an anti-Communist Party article. It was just a dry piece. And they got word. Their family got threatened. They got word. You shut up. You don't write. Now, she is British. And there's the long arm of the Chinese Communist Party telling her, you shut up. You know, trying to tell my website, you shut up. I mean, what have you guys gone through with the fact that you're reporting on them?
Well, from the very beginning, the Epoch Times has experienced a lot of interference from the CCP. I mean, one of their top priorities is to shut us down. In 2000, we had a reporters bureau inside China. Of course, it didn't operate openly; it operated clandestinely. But this was a bureau in a couple of cities, and in December of 2000. We had several dozen people who worked for us scooped up and raided, and many of them were sentenced to prison. They suffered severe torture. We have columnists with the Epoch Times, columnists who write for the Epoch Times in the last 4 years.
Unfortunately, sir, your phone started breaking up there. Try to speak right into your microphone and repeat about your reporters getting scooped up.
Okay. Is this better, Alex?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. In 2000, we had several dozen reporters inside China get scooped up and raided. Many of them were sentenced to prison. Many of them suffered severe torture. In major cities around the West, there have been our paper has been interfered with in many ways by the Chinese Communist Party. And in Hong Kong, thugs that were employed by the CCP broke into our offices there. And smashed our printing press there. Their opposition to us has been very strong because we give our Chinese language edition communicates directly over the web and in print to Chinese inside China and around the world. And it's delivering a message, of course, about the CCP. The CCP does not want the Chinese people to do it.
Well, incredible that these type of things could go on. Where do you see China going? And I know it's hard to predict, but where do you see China in its relationship to the West going, in relationship to its own domestic operations going? And then I want to come back and get into some of the documented abuses that this government meets out to people.
Sure, sure. I see the Chinese regime at this time becoming very arrogant and more aggressive around the world. Lay claim to the entire South China Sea. It is having navigation disputes with the U.S. Navy and the Yellow Sea. And so from one point of view, I see this as a very dangerous time. If there's a miscalculation in Korea, there could be a war could break out around Korea. The Chinese regime feels that they're strong enough, they might attempt to conquer Taiwan. And so I see the Chinese regime becoming more aggressive on the one hand. On the other hand, I see it becoming much weaker.
All right, Mr. Gregory, stay there. Sorry to interrupt you. We've got to go to break. I want to hold you for this short segment coming up and one more until 5 after if you can. Then, folks, I'm going to get into a bunch of economic news, police state news with the Super Bowl, and a lot more. Also, our V for Victory Against Tyranny campaign, already seeing some huge success just 3 days into it. We'll be right back with our guest.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers, and no lingering smell. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
Not all protein supplements are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps reduce body fat, excellent for building lean muscle, increases energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, sports performance, exercise recovery. Who's it for? Busy people, hardworking executives, students, teachers, active seniors, people recovering from illness, office workers, construction workers, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you think that the Communist Party thugs that have been feeding on the Chinese people and others like vampires are our friends, I got a bridge that I'm ready to sell you. I got some oceanfront property in Arizona, as George Strait would say. Going back to Stephen Gregory of EpochTimes.com, the editor of their English language version. Okay, you got interrupted by the break. You were getting into their extreme arrogance, evidenced by at the White House playing an anti-America song about, you know, the victory against U.S. troops. Continuing, please.
Right. Well, and on the one hand, I see their arrogance increasing and their aggression increasing. On the other hand, I see the regime growing more and more unstable. And the members of the CCP know that high-ranking members of the CCP have numerous foreign passports and billions stashed abroad. They're ready to run. And what the West needs to do is support those inside China who are seeking to have a civil society. And that goes back to the withdrawal movement I was speaking of before. There are people inside China who are looking to end the Chinese Communist Party, and those are the people the West should be seeking out support.
But there are a lot of Western megacorporations that promote the authoritarianism because they've got business deals that count on the slave labor. What about that part of the equation?
It's certainly true that there are corporations, Western corporations in China that are devoted to the regime. It's also true that this year, for the first time, the American Chamber of Commerce pulled back from its support for doing business in China. American business and Western business have been badly burned inside China. They have not been willing to admit it. And now people are finally starting to take a little bit more sober look at what it means to do business in China.
Sure. I've been asking a lot of the questions here, but you really are, from doing my research, a deep expert on what's happening with China. In the rest of this segment, the next, you've got the floor on other points you think are really important and the persecution of Falun Gong, who they are for folks that don't know.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we're still live. I'm sorry. I thought we were going to...
No. You've got the floor. Break it down for us as we got a break here.
Okay, right. The persecution of Falun Gong is a story that our paper has covered because it's the most important story, we think, in China today, we think in the world today. 100 million people were practicing Falun Gong, which is a peaceful spiritual practice, in China in 1999. And this scared the Chinese Communist Party. And because it scared the Chinese Communist Party to have 100 million people independently doing a meditation practice, spiritual practice, they decided to eradicate Falun Gong, in the words of John Schmidt. And they have used the most extreme and violent means, the most extreme forms of torture and brainwashing that can be imagined to attempt to eliminate the practice of Falun Gong in China. But what has happened is, for the first time in the history of the Chinese Communist Party, a group that successfully resisted the attempt to eliminate them. And this is a huge story in terms of the dynamics inside China, that you now have tens of millions of people who are conducting a campaign of civil disobedience to oppose the rule of the Chinese Communist Party. And this is something which readers of our newspaper and our website know about, and we think that media around the world should be paying close attention to this. It's an amazing development.
Well, I agree with you. Briefly, do you think it would have gone better for the Communist Party China to have let Falun Gong operate? Has it caused a bigger backlash by them trying to crush it?
I think that the Chinese Communist Party has allowed Falun Gong to continue peacefully cultivating, peacefully practicing Falun Gong, China would be a different place today.
All right, stay there. Back in 1 minute. I want to continue down that line and where you see China ending.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.